Mom, thank God you're gonna be okay.
So relieved. But you both should know when my time comes, I have a final expense policy with Senior Care USA.
If you're over 50, call Senior Care USA now to learn more about final expense insurance plans.
When I called, the quote was free, and there was no pressure. Oh, so glad you'll be taken care of.
Call 1-800-717-4179. That's 1-800-717-4179.
And get back to the Book of Acts. Check out SamaritanMinistries.org or call the number now at the bottom of the screen.
Be a nation that is on the biblical principles and the values and the ethics that are found in Scripture.
Your personal economy.
Financial issues that you need to know.
Aligning reality with truth.
But I think it's time we ask ourselves if we still know the freedoms that were intended for us by the founding fathers.
Now, here's your host, Dan Celia.
Welcome back. Financial issues, 844-707-5533. Our phone lines are open. At least we have a couple lines open, so you might want to check that out, 844-707-5533, 844-707-5533. So give us a call. It's Rapid Fire Friday. We're trying to work through as many calls as we possibly can, so we hope you will be able to join us here. By the way, as we look at the indices in the markets, are looking pretty good. Looking pretty good right now. So everything's in positive territory. The Dow's up 1%. Everything's up. Dow's up 1%. The Nasdaq's up about 0.25%. And the S&P is up 0.75%. So that is off the highs, by the way. They were a little bit higher. But nonetheless, the Dow's having a good pullback. It looks like we could have another positive week. This is primarily due to China talks, I think. It's just the progress. It really is becoming more and more apparent that there's some real progress being made, U.S.-China negotiations. And that's very, very good news, obviously. And, you know, some are saying that if a deal is signed, sealed, and delivered anytime in the next month or two, that it's not going to matter much. They're saying already that this is factored into the markets already. That may be true, may not be true. To a certain extent, it may be true, but we don't care about the knee-jerk reaction of the market when the deal is signed. That's not why, that's not the point. The point is what the market may do as a result of long-term stability, at least in this one area, starts coming into view, and that's what is important. But listen, it gets better. Once we get the China deal done, then it is going to, we're going to move on from a trade situation. We're going to move on to the Eurozone and Japan and other parts of the Pacific Rim and then down to Central and South America. And so we have those areas that we are going to continue to talk. Those talks in those areas are going to be, I almost said very easy, so I don't want to say very easy, but they are going to go a lot smoother because once the two largest economies in the world have come to agreement, as far as everybody else falling into lockstep, it's going to be pretty much a given. And I got to tell you, no matter what happens from this point on to the administration and where the administration goes, this administration has to get credit for accomplishing something that hasn't been accomplished for a forever. I mean, it even if we don't talk about accomplishments, you know, and what has happened on trade, forget about the accomplishment that this president has created. It's, remember, don't forget, he's gone into areas that nobody else would dare go. They weren't even going to go to these areas. And he tackled communist regime and said, look, enough is enough. You are not a developing nation. You're the second largest economy in the world. We got to have fair and even playing fields. And, you know, that's the beauty of what has happened. And frankly, it's historical. It's historical. And hopefully, and I know China may be thinking this a little bit, that it's going to regress when we get new leadership in the White House. I hope it depends on the leadership. Not if it's Mike Pence for another 8 years, it won't, after President Trump's second term. Not if it's that, it's not going to regress. And so, anyway, we've got to have a great deal of respect for this deal when it gets made. So I don't think, I'm not worried about the market's knee-jerk reaction to this deal. That's not What is exciting. What is exciting is that the other deals to come and the stability it's going to bring in to other economies and the economy here in the United States. And that's something that we've got to be excited about and something that we've got to look forward to. And I doubt that these markets have that factored in. They may have a China deal. Okay, it's somewhat factored in. But look, the other thing this is going to do, it's going to change the complexion of earnings reports for second quarter. First quarter is probably already baked in right now, but it's going to change second quarter to be a little bit more positive. I'm not necessarily in the camp that we're going to see high double-digit readings on what we have seen in earnings. I think it's going to be high single digits, low double digits. I think it's going to be somewhat muted compared to what we've had, and that's fine. But nonetheless, they're going to be positive earnings, and that's what's important. So we'll watch that. I'm very excited about that. Okay, we've got one line open, 844-707-5533. We're going to go to Craig Haugard, our ag reporter. And then we're going to come right back and get to the phones. Once we come back and get to the phones, we're staying on the phones. We're not going anywhere. We're going to stay with the phones. So we're going to go to Craig Haugard, right now. And we'll be right back right after the Ag Report. So here's Craig Haugard. We'll be back right after this.
This is Craig Haugard with your Financial Issues Ag Update. The corn market continues to trade in the same range that it's been stuck in for some time now. Yesterday's weakness came from spillover weakness in both the wheat and the soybean markets. The weekly export sales report was disappointing, but it was still from several weeks back as the USDA gets caught up in releasing those numbers, so it did receive limited attention. Looking at South America, I see that Brazil is getting near to above normal rainfall, which is easing dryness as the second crop corn gets planted and early growth continues. Well, Argentina is also seeing more rain in the forecast. In the overnight trade, spot corn futures are trading a penny higher. The soybean market traded lower on Chinese cancellations in the most current week's export sales report. Prices also saw pressure from bigger crop ideas in Argentina. The Rosario Exchange pegged their soybean crop at 52 million metric tons, up from the previous estimate of 50 million by that exchange. In the overnight trade, spot soybean futures are trading up 3 cents. The wheat market turned lower on profit-taking, poor demand, and increased spring wheat ideas for this year. Kansas City made new life-of-contract lows across most of the months traded in that exchange. It is worth noting that the Russian ruble has plummeted the last couple of days, and Russia is now once again the most competitive wheat in the world export market, followed by France, with U.S. currently in that third position. In the overnight trade, Chicago is unchanged. Kansas City.
The AFA Journal is the monthly magazine of the American Family Association.
The mission of the AFA Journal is to motivate people to get involved in issues around their community and around their state and nation.
We want people to go out and actually do something, to become involved in their community. People who read the journal take the magazine, they hand it to friends, they hand it to neighbors, they hand it to people at work.
If you'd like to get the AFA Journal, simply go to afajournal.org. You can sign up for a one-year free subscription.
The peace and joy, knowing that God is answering our prayers, bringing healing and providing for our needs.
Our faith and values shouldn't be compromised by the way we invest. And practices aligned with pro-life, pro-family values. Visit thetimothyplan.com or call for more information. Advance the kingdom in the way that you invest.
The opening statement in the Constitution of the United States says this, that we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty. I don't know what part of that we don't get anymore. That was written by men who cared about this country deeply.
Financial Issues with Dan Celia.
Hey, welcome back. It's great to be here. You know, I said to everyone earlier, and you just heard a spot about a book called Decoding the Antichrist and the End Times. And I was expressing earlier that I read the book, and it's a great book, DecodingTheAntichrist.com. You have to get it. You can go to Amazon or other places, I'm sure, but make sure that you get this book. Why? Because we need to understand what we are looking for. We need to understand. We need to have a picture of that in our minds, and I hope you'll do that. And Pastor Mark Belts is with us. And Pastor, thank you for being with the program.
And, well, thank you so much, Dan.
And thank you for writing this book. What some great insights that you pull from God's word about the Antichrist. Tell us what motivated you to write about this.
Well, I have been studying Solomon's behavior for almost 30 to 40 years, and everything I'd heard was talking about how he was so wise and such a great guy. But I realized, man, this is why the world is going to be deceived. The church is going to be deceived because his behavior was horrible.
Mm. You know, and our behavior is so important. Those listening understand that I spend my time in my analytics on behavior. And if we understand behavior, we're able to recognize certain things, aren't we?
Oh, you bet. Yeah, for sure.
And it's so key that we can do that, that we can recognize who this person is or going to be if we're still here. Hopefully we're gone tonight would be good, but it'll be interesting. But I'm sure that's got plays such a key role, is to understand what the enemy looks like.
Definitely. And the way I see it, it's a system of legalized lawlessness. Look where we're at today with governments legalizing all kinds of lawlessness.
Yeah, what a great, great point. And legalizing, you know, this notion that if it's legal, then surely it must be moral, that it must be okay.
Like the New York abortion law that they just passed.
Yeah. You know, I used to tell my children growing up that the will of the majority is not necessarily the will of God. You know, the kids would say, well, everybody's going, everybody's doing it, you know, and they hated it when I said that. But it's so true, isn't it? I mean,
yeah, definitely. As a matter of fact, I believe in Deuteronomy, it says you are not to follow the majority of the people when it goes against God's laws.
Mm. You know, too many Christians, I believe, too many Christians, they get caught up with the person that is predicting the day and the time and all of that, of the events. We know how the story ends, and we know what events are going to unfold, and they get caught up in trying to predict all of that and not caught up enough trying to be in this recognition and this behavior.
So true. People get caught up in trying to decide when things are going to happen or who the Antichrist might be. But to me, we need to profile what the behavior is so we won't be deceived.
Mm. So what does the Bible say about the tactics and the motivations and the things that are going to give us some clues to that profiling?
Well, the most important thing is Ecclesiastes 1:9, where the Bible says basically there's nothing new under the sun. That which has happened is that which will happen again. And when we study the book of Esther with Haman, who was a type of Antichrist, his whole goal was annihilation, but they had to create a law to allow genocide. And then when we study Hanukkah, that's all about assimilation. Those are two sides of the Antichrist, annihilation and then comes assimilation. But history always repeats itself. So Hitler was a type of Antichrist or a type of Haman wanting to annihilate the Jews. And then what follows is assimilation. We're now like Chrislam, where it's a merging of religions. We all need to coexist.
So the Antichrist, some say he'll be a Jew, some say he'll be Muslim, some say he'll be a atheist or a professing Christian. Does the Bible give us any insights to that?
Well, I think it's quite fascinating. John says in his epistles that there were many antichrists in his day. So first thing we need to understand is it's not just a person. It's a whole system and many people. But then the most startling thing is he says they came out from among us. Mm. We know that Satan comes as an angel of light. So I believe there's a good chance the Christian or the antichrist could come across as a professing Christian.
Wow. You know, one of the things I loved about your book and I found fascinating was the Antichrist working through this thing that we love so much, technology, and working in and through that. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, I find it fascinating. It's all about manipulation and control. And when I look at China and what they're doing through social media, this new 5G network that allows self-autonomous drones to fire missiles with facial recognition, you know, on their own. And we look at all the way we're being tracked through our phones. To me, this isn't some craziness. We have on our website a link or a page that links to all the artificial intelligence that's going on now with all their capability of how we can be surveilled.
And that website
El Shaddai Ministries.
Yeah.
El Shaddai Ministries, or just Google my name, Mark Belts, and El Shaddai Ministries will come up. But I can back everything up.
And you back it up on the website. You back it up. You talk about backing it up throughout the book. That's why this is such an important book for us to have. It's an important book that we have. We give to our children and anybody that has an understanding of how the story ends, that we want to help them be in a kind of recognition of how the Antichrist or the system of the Antichrist is going to work.
Yeah, most assuredly, because like the Ring door camera that where you can look and see who's at your door. But now they have whole neighborhoods that are watching anyone who comes through the neighborhood, which could be a good thing. But if it gets hacked, then anybody can know when you come home, when you leave with a Fitbit watch. They know what time you go to bed. Things are being hacked. And if not hacked, they're just being given away to the government. Like your DNA at these DNA websites, they're giving access to the police for all of your DNA.
Mm. The name of the books, folks, the book is The name of the book is Decoding the Antichrist and the End Times. Decoding the Antichrist and the End Times. And, you know, it's that decoding that, believe it or not, if we know what we are viewing, what we are looking for, what are some of the symptoms of the disease, so to speak, you know, we can get a better idea of how it is going to destroy as a, you know, a soldier, as a veteran. You know, knowing the enemy certainly is a big part of trying to predict its movements, certainly. So we always should know what is around us. And, you know, God has used technology for some wonderful, wonderful things. I mean, we are seeing the gospel of Jesus Christ reaching people around the globe that they'd never reach without technology. But it's also going to be the instrument, possibly, likely, of the Antichrist.
Oh, most definitely. Everything has two sides to it, and technology definitely does.
Mark, you know, it was obvious to me, Pastor, as I went through the book, that, you know, you spent a lot of time researching and backing all this up, and I felt I'm glad that you didn't force going somewhere of it's going to be, you know, March 5th, 2022, right, that, you know, the Antichrist is going to reveal himself or the system, because that's not really biblical, is it?
No, it's not right at all. I don't think we should ever be setting dates, but I do believe we're supposed to know the times and the seasons, and we need to understand what's going on around us so we can properly react.
Are we in a season that we need to be concerned about?
I definitely believe we're in the times and the seasons where we can easily be deceived, which is why we need to be watching. The Bible says that we're to be watching and on guard. But for me, it's not just it's about the people I love, and it's about the body of the Messiah. I believe much of the body of Messiah, as we see what's going on in the church, are being deceived, and we need to wake up. Many people don't even talk about the book of Revelation.
It is so true, Pastor. It's one of my biggest frustrations that I talk about. You know, so much has to be done. So much work has to be done from the pulpit that isn't getting done either. And, you know, folks, we need to get this book, Decoding the Antichrist. You can go to decodingtheantichrist.com. You can go to El Shaddai
99. 360 fitness system for 30 days before you buy it for only $14.95. And order in the next 4 minutes and we'll send you $100 worth of incredible bonus materials. Call or go online now to join the millions that experience the incredible Abdur. You can have an Abdur 360 in your own home for 30 days for just $14.95. If you don't see spectacular results, simply send it back. Your total body transformation starts right now.
Companies that may be funding abortion, pornography, alcohol, tobacco, gambling, anti-family entertainment, and also the homosexual agenda.
Americans now have the ability to invest in the Timothy Plan funds and know that none of their money is going to be invested in companies that are promoting this type of thing.
At Timothy, we take that seriously, and that is our mission.
Investing in a mutual fund may result in a loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses before investing. The prospectus is available from the fund or your financial professional that contains this and other more complete important information. Please read it carefully before investing or sending money. Distributed by Timothy Partners Limited. Member FINRA.
Folks, it really is a great book. And, you know, look, first of all, I wish this weren't true, but I read a lot. I don't read books. It's terrible. I read the Bible. I told you yesterday that I'm 3/4 of the way through Wealth of Nations, which I've read probably 9 or 10 times over the last 30 years, maybe more than that. It's not a book. It's volumes of books. Adam Smith, one of the greatest economists ever, in my opinion, laid down his viewpoints in 1776. Oh, man, if we were to only pay attention to it. But so I go through that every, I don't know, 5, 6, 8 years, whatever. Not like I would read the Bible every day, but I'm doing that. But I'm not, you know, I read so much that are short snippets of economic environments and articles and things like that, that sometimes the last thing I want to do is read. But there are certain books like this book that just grabbed me. And again, so here's what happened. I heard about this. I was asked about it. And the guy that asked me, hey, you ought to have this guy, said, can you send me a couple, you know, paragraphs? You don't have to send me the whole book. I don't even care what paragraph or what chapters, not paragraphs. Can you send me a couple chapters? And he sent me the whole book electronically. So I read randomly, I don't even remember what chapters they were, I read two chapters. So I read one towards the front, read one towards the back, and I was like, I got to read this. I started over and read the whole thing again. And my wife's reading it now, but it is a pretty neat book. And, you know, we need to be, I love the notion of how much better, I don't know, can we get any better prepared than to understand and know the saving grace of Jesus? Probably not any more prepared than that. But it helps us, it can help us be in recognition of what is to come and what it might look like and help us to stay on the path. You know, every day I pray, Lord, don't let me step off onto my own path. Don't let me be deceived that the path I'm on is yours when it's really my own, when it's really of the flesh. And I pray that every day. And we are, and I loved in the book as it goes through what we forget sometimes. We are being deceived around every corner. Not only are we being deceived, we're embracing the deception as if it is truth. And it is, we need to understand that. We need to understand. So El Shaddai Ministries, you may know, and Pastor Mark Belts was the founder of that ministry, and pastor and runs that ministry, and he wrote this book, Decoding the Antichrist. And decoding is the right word. And you heard some of the examples of what John talked about in Revelation about the Antichrist. And all through Scripture and Deuteronomy, we see examples in Esther of the Antichrist. And as we get examples, we start to understand the behavior. And when you understand the behavior, you begin to understand what it looks like. It is why I'm a behavioral economist. The greatest thing anybody ever told me was years and years ago, a man that I went to work for as a bond trader said, if you want to do anything, kid, study behavioral economics because it's a dying art. But the beauty of that, it spills into so many other areas of life, even as I read the scripture. When we understand behavioral sciences and the behavior and certain aspects of what we do, in my case, economics, you know, I remember once telling the senior VP of DuPont about 15 or 20 years ago, saying that I would stake my life that I can predict what your stock is going to do under certain conditions way better than your CFO or anybody else in your organization. You know, he laughed, but I think he was concerned that I was probably right, because certain patterns of behavior just don't change. And that is true in economics, and I think it's true in so much of life. All right. 844-707-5533. Let me go to Brian. Brian's calling us from Arkansas. Or no, from Iowa. Hey, Brian. Brian?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, gotcha.
Hey, I got a question for you.
Okay.
I got a question about here in Iowa, we have the state retirement program called IPERS. for county and city and state employees.
Yes.
My question is, I'm 47 years old. I'm looking to change career fields, moving to a different city. I have roughly $150,000 in my IPERS. Now, I'm just thinking out loud in the flesh here.
Yes.
We've got about, with our house and other debt, we've got roughly $70,000 in debt. Okay. If I was to take my IPERS out, I was told that I would roughly receive about $115,000. With the sale of our house, we're expecting to pocket between $30,000 and $40,000. So big picture here, what I'm looking to do is to alleviate all my debt, pay for the new house with cash, and then also I want to throw in there, we've got about six more years of inheritance, which is probably going to end up totaling by the end about $210,000. And I guess my question, main question to you is, what do you think? I know I'm going to take a big hit with the taxes, taking that IPERS out if I do that, but just given what I told you, what's your feeling?
So you are going to take a hit with taxes and penalties, a 10% penalty, but here's what I would say to you to do. Try to do a little analytics in this sense. So you're 47, you're in that very kind of, difficult place in the sense that what I think about and care about most of all is time to be in the accumulation phase of your life. In other words, how many more years are you going to be getting a salary? How many more years are you going to be able to?
I guess retirement's not an option. I want to finish strong.
Right, right. Good. So I get concerned when somebody takes what they've worked for during those accumulation years. You accumulated this $150,000. I don't suspect it's going to take you, 25 years or whatever it took you to get this 150. I don't suspect it's going to take you that long to get the next 150. But I do think about adding that 150 to this 150, and what you might have. But the inheritance that you're receiving changes the picture a little bit. If you're fairly diligent, if you're very diligent and disciplined about saving that and protecting that inheritance and keeping that, well invested. The other side of it is I always hesitate. I'm not saying this of you. I don't know you, so you can't take it personally by any means. But I always worry about one's discipline. And sometimes, I know this sounds crazy, sometimes getting out of debt is the kiss of death, because people all the time will get out of debt using up some money that they've had previously that they've saved. And the getting out of debt is a license to get into debt. You know what I mean? You have this false sense of security. I'm just going to assume that you're a disciplined person. You're aware of all those things I've right. just said, and you're going to continue to, work through this in a proper way. I don't have a problem. I don't have a problem paying the tax. It kills me to pay that 10% penalty. That drives me nuts. But all that aside, I think you'd be okay, because you should be dramatically increasing your ability to save by not having a mortgage primarily, or any other debt for that matter, if you can buy this next house cash. So all I would ask of you, I would be okay doing it. I think it would be fine. I would suspect that the inheritance is relatively secure and that's going to keep coming. You would be just super diligent and remember that I'm with you. I'm going to work until I drop. But in the meantime, I could, have a debilitating something tomorrow and have to retire and have to have some money, So I'm not real big on dwelling on that or thinking about that, but At the same time, we've got to...
Sam, even if you have a pre-existing condition like I do, when I called, the quote was free, and there was no pressure.
I found out that policies start for as little as 35 cents a day. Rates will never increase and coverage won't decrease.
I'm going to call today.
Ask about the free prescription discount card. Oh, I'm so glad you'll be taken care of.
Call 1-800-735-8840. That's 1-800-735-8840.
That's why there's 1 million moms. Protecting innocent eyes from harmful media every day.
Opinions and recommendations expressed by Dan are his own and do not necessarily represent the opinions of this station or any of the show's sponsors.
So let me just talk a little bit, address Lewis. So Lewis, our national debt is directly related to our growth. One of the reasons why we have such horrible national debt, $22 trillion, is not just because of the spending like drunken sailors of the Obama administration. The last 2 years of the Bush administration, which I was very critical of from an economic perspective. Loved George Bush, but I was very critical of the administration the last 2 years. We have to understand when we look at the debt, we've got to look at the lack of growth. We can never have any shot of paying down national debt or controlling our debt without GDP growth. It is literally impossible. It won't ever happen. Nobody talks about the correlation between the increase in our national debt and the lack of GDP growth, which we should, because they're directly related. Everybody that's saying now it's $25 trillion, they all said it was going to be 18. And before that, they said it was going to be 9. And before that, they said that 8. I remember specifically when they all said 8. And on it goes. They've been saying it forever. They sell a lot of books. They sell a lot of blogs. They sell a lot of newsletters. They sell a lot of gold. They sell a lot of stuff. And they get notoriety. Because they are very good writers and they are writing about a topic that a certain segment of our population loves to read and hear about, doesn't necessarily make them credible. Because you've got to talk about the whole deal, and you've got to understand that. Or have interest rates, cheap money, been kept down artificially by the Federal Reserve? Yes, since Alan Greenspan. I think it was a plan of Alan Greenspan. I think it's been carried through. And I've been an advocate for raising interest rates for if you've listened for any length of time, at least 5 years. I said it's time that we start raising interest rates. That was a ploy. That was a calculated move to try to get monies into the market, to raise the market, to create a wealth effect. If we create a wealth effect, then the economy is going to grow. Everything that I could talk about as it comes to our national debt and government failed policy is going to come back. I can bring it back to GDP growth. Because when we didn't have GDP growth, we were getting in deeper trouble by trying to create GDP growth, because the government and the Federal Reserve believed that their job is to get people back to work. It's not their job, but they believe their job is to get people hired. They believe their job is to increase GDP. No, their job, the government, the Federal Reserve, anybody else, their job in the government is to create an environment by which those things happen. They have no power to create that. They only have the policy, fiscal policy power to create an environment for that. So President Obama created a very negative environment. So therefore, that growth aspect of GDP never happened. So not only at the very same time, we were spending like crazy. And so we're spending at the very same time we've got zero GDP growth. So hence, President Obama graduates from the presidency and we've doubled the national debt. So we can't control national debt until we take a look at growth. We can't create growth with wealth effect. And I can say this because I only said it one time, and it was in 2009, and I wrote about it, that creating a wealth effect by the Federal Reserve, and at the time I said if they choose to go down that road, which I believe they would, and they did sometime after I wrote that, but when I knew they were going to go down that road, I said then it's never, ever going to work again. And I was right about that. Now, I didn't write about that over and over again, and I'm not going to say it again. I said it once, I was right, and that's that. But we got to have growth. Here's the problem. We have today an opportunity that we've never had. So, oh, wait a minute, I missed a point. So if we are growing GDP, can national debt now go to $25 trillion? Yes. If we continue to grow GDP, can it go to $28 trillion? Yes. How about $30 trillion? Sure, if we continue on a path of GDP growth. How about $35 trillion? Probably not. How about $40 trillion? Probably not. It's not going to work. There will be a point where we reach a place where we can't outpace the debt. Now, you've heard me say this. I wrote about it. I said about it. You know, I got criticized for being critical of the administration, but I talked about President Trump, and I said, I'm scared he's drinking the Steve Mnuchin Kool-Aid that is every time he answered a question about the debt, he would say, oh, we've got great GDP growth. We're doing this. This is going to grow. The whole answer of the Treasury Secretary was what I just said. Growth is going to solve all the problems. No. You cannot solve any problems without growth. But you need to have, and this is why we went on that phone call letter writing campaign that I put an alert out and asked everybody to write the White House, to say, Mr. President, you have got to address debt. Because we have an opportunity now that we haven't had in 20 years. We have an opportunity to really hammer away at our national debt because we've got the GDP growth thing. I don't want to say clicking on all eight cylinders, but going in the right direction. The trajectory for GDP growth is very, very good. Now, if we can start decreasing the size of government, if we can start cutting spending, if we can do some of the things the president talked about, like across-the-board cuts, 5% every department of the government, thereby shrinking those governments or what those departments or what they're spending, now we've got a chance, a possibility to see debt starting to decrease. But we have a Democratic-controlled Congress. They love to spend money. GDP growth means we've got more money to spend. That's the problem. Politicians don't get it. And the reason politicians don't get it, because they've been sold a bill of goods by all the lobbyists. And they've been sold this notion, well, you know what? We're 100% debt to GDP. We're about 102. We're 102%. But, you know, just not long ago, it was 74%. But anyway, we're 102% debt to GDP growth. Oh, listen, Congressman. That's nothing. Take a look at China. They got 600%. Take a look at Japan, 400%. They're doing just fine. They'll get along. We don't have any problems. We're in great shape. This is not a big deal. Don't get caught up in what all the people are saying. They don't understand. We need debt. True, I would agree with that. We need some debt. We're always going to have some debt. That's true. I would agree with that. But they have their head buried in the sand because they're economically inept, that we have the most economically ignorant Congress than we've ever had right now. They don't get it. They don't understand it. First of all, this idea of comparing the United States of America to China and Japan is ridiculous. With this trade war, let me see, who's suffering? United States? Oh, no, it's not the United States. Of course it's not. It's China. It's not the United States. I know there were a lot of people thought it was going to be the United States. It's not us. It's China. You can't compare the economies. They're an export-driven nation. We are a consumer-driven nation. It's totally different set of economics and numbers. So debt means far more to us than it does to them. Debt means to them that they need to continue to trash their currency, making their exports more competitive so they can keep people working. That has worked for both Japan and China. Not going to work here. It's not going to work here. All it's going to create here is hyperinflation, big problems. So do I believe that we are on the precipice of economic Armageddon? No, I don't believe that right now. Do I believe we could be there in 6 months? Yes. Or maybe we could be there in 6 years. Look, we can do an awful lot to, as long as we have growth, but the president needs to come out and say our administration is exception of defense, and we are going to start making cuts. But listen, all the people, everybody, conservative and liberal, that has talked to me about what we've got to do to the debt, even you, Lewis, have mentioned that. If somebody from Washington says, hey, we've got to take this under control, you have to understand, we are going to have to cut Social Security. So if you were thinking you were going to get your Social Security this month, you're going to start collecting, you got to